Hey, Buzz. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the response I get from my husband all the time. Do you love me? Do I what? You wouldn't be here if you didn't. I thought you were here because you loved Jesus.
Oh. Because you tell me about Jesus.
Oh, that's pretty good. Bernice, do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Tell me why. Can you do it in half an hour or less? Marianne, do you love me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, boy, do I need it today. Don Yeager, do you love me? I love you. Do you love me?
Yes, I do. Very much. Thank you.
I'm looking for Libby. Where's Libby? There's Libby. Libby, do you love me? Most of the time. I used to say that children's sermons were dangerous. In this congregation, every sermon's dangerous. Libby, do you love me the way Jesus loves me?
I try, yes.
You try?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me with a godly, sacrificial love? Would you give up everything that you have, even your lovely husband? Would you support my family if anything happened to me?
I would try.
You would try?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I expected you to say no. Do you think you can love me the way God does, unconditionally?
Well,
the answer is no.
Well, I'm saying that's why I'm here to work on it.
That's why you're here to work on it? Oh, great. Well, thank you, Libby. Everybody else was clueless. I did clue Libby into what was coming this morning. I just want all of you to relax and know that I usually don't pick on anybody other than Buzz without letting them know ahead of time. Since you have the wrong scripture in the bulletin, you will want to turn to the book of John, the 21st chapter, and I'm going to be reading from verse 15. But before I do, do I want to pick on Terry or Carl? Carl? Carl is saying Terry, and Terry is saying Carl. When your spouse asks you, do you love me, what does it mean? Does it mean that she needs attention? Does it mean maybe she's feeling a little, okay, I'm speaking for myself here, a little unsure of herself? Usually when I ask my husband, do you love me? It doesn't really have anything to do with the relationship between the two of us. It means something, I'm going through a bad patch, something happened at work, or I'm just feeling kind of uncertain and unlovable, maybe.
Reaffirmation.
That's a great word. Yeah.
I just learned it.
You just learned it? Did Lois pass you that word? Why do I bother to prepare sermons? The rest of you can preach, right? Maybe it's because I'm down here. Maybe I better go back up there. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Now, this year we're focused on Jesus' questions, the questions that Jesus asked. He was the great questioner. He asked over 300 questions, and we know that Jesus didn't ask questions because he wanted to know the answer, because he already knew the answers. Jesus is God. God knows everything, right? So then why did he ask questions? I mean, did he ask Peter, do you love me, because he needed affirmation, because he needed to be reassured? No, he was confident. He wasn't needy and asking like I did as I went around. He had a different purpose in asking this question. And please pay attention that he asked three times. How many times did Peter betray Jesus? Three times. That's why in many Bibles, this section of the 21st chapter of John is titled, Jesus Reinstates Peter. This passage is happening after Jesus has died and been resurrected and has come back to earth. And he spent time with Jesus. And they're having breakfast together on the beach at this point in time. There's been a large catch of fish. Jesus walked on water over to the beach and started cooking breakfast. Breakfast that probably none of you have ever had. Bread and fish. And Jesus stops to ask some important questions at that point in time. He knows he's going back to heaven pretty shortly, and he'll be leaving the disciples alone again. So that's the setting for this passage. Here we go. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Wow. Three times asked. Three times answered. Three times the same instructions following the answer. There's a meaning here that I've always preached. And then there's a deeper meaning that we get to if we look at the original text. As I was reading, was it the same question all three times? There were little variations. Was it the same answer all three times? Little variations. Was it the same instructions all three times? Little variations. But it seems to be the same message. The one I've always preached is, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And implied, if you love me, you will take care of my sheep. Now, as we read our Bibles, as we read other parts of the Bible, we realize that Jesus is called the Great Shepherd and refers to people as sheep. He's not talking about, you know, going back to heaven and leaving his estate with his massive sheepfold for Peter to take care of for him. He's talking about people. And that is the message that we always seem to hear from this text. And it is the message of the text. If we love Jesus, we will take care of people. It's a very important message. To not just care for their souls, but also their bodies. We have the Great Commission telling us to spread the gospel and to tell people about Jesus. But this is instruction to tend people, to take care of them, especially the least, the last, and the lost, the ones that can't take care of themselves. The reason Jesus compares sheep to people, or people to sheep, is because sheep are somewhat fragile. They need to be pulled out of danger. They need to be led to green pastures. And so do we. That we need to be protected. We need to be cared for. We need to be reassured that we have God's love. All of that's very important. It's fairly easy for a shepherd to do that with sheep, for sheep, because a shepherd carries a crook. This is a real one from Amish country. And several people on the way in here today asked if they could have my shepherd's crook because they thought it would be easier to walk with it. And pretty much that's part of what it's for, because the pasture land where they would graze sheep was rugged countryside and kind of hard to get around. You might need a staff to protect you. Now, Wilma Palmer said to me, you know, if you wouldn't spend so much time drinking, you wouldn't need that cane. Wilma, I drink iced tea. But there are other functions for a shepherd's crook. It is crooked on purpose. It has this shape to it because a shepherd would use this to pull a sheep out of danger. If it got caught between rocks in a dangerous place, a shepherd would pull it out. Would put this crook right around the sheep's neck, even. They knew how to do that in order to pull it up safely without strangling it. Or around the body, the whole body of a smaller sheep, the front chest and legs, pull it out. And this part, it's long on purpose. This part was for keeping the wolves away, the predators. If a predator came up, mostly there were small wild cats, and the shepherd could poke them away from the sheep, make a lot of noise, throw rocks. So, and this part was also used to guide and direct the flock to get them to get them out of the bushes and along the path they wanted them to follow. Asked and answered and instructed three times. The first question, the question, do you love me? Perhaps Jesus was giving Peter an opportunity to say three times that he loved him in order to redeem himself because he had three times denied him previously. But here's an interesting thing. It is not the same question all three times. And to understand the question, to understand the Greek in which it's written, you have to understand that in Greek, there are three different words for love. There's erotic love. We know what that is. It's not used in this passage at all. That's the romantic love. Jesus doesn't ask Peter, are you romantically in love with me? There's agape love. That's God's love. And two times, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me the way God loves me? Do you love me with an unconditional love? In fact, the word agape is only used for God's love, never for human love. So what would Peter's answer be to that question? What was Libby's answer? Well, I'll try. But he would have been even more dumbstruck than I asked Libby to be. He would have been shocked to hear Jesus ask him, can you love me with agape love? It wasn't used for people. It was only used to describe God's love. And absolutely, Peter's answer would be no. I'm not capable of divine love. None of us are. None of us can love absolutely, unconditionally, and sacrificially. The closest I come to it is with my grandkids. Sure, I would lay down my life for them, but I can't love the way God loves. I can't love 24/7 no matter what they're doing. I can love them but not like them. I can't see the potential in their future. God can. I am not capable in this life of loving the way God loves. So why did Peter say yes? Peter said, yes, I love you with a brotherly love. He didn't say I'm capable of agape. He said, I love you, filios. That means brotherly love. Now, it's not just brothers. Filios is human love that's not romantic. Filios is the love between parents and children. It's the love between brothers and sisters. It's the love between really good neighbors and friends. Filios is pretty much the pinnacle of human love. It's the best part of us. So Jesus asked, can you love me with a divine love? And Peter said, I love you with a brotherly love. Twice Jesus said, can you love me with a divine love? And Peter answered, I love you with a brotherly love. The third time, Jesus changed the question. The third time, Jesus asked, do you love me with brotherly love? And Peter said, I love you with brotherly love. You know I love you. Asked and answered, asked and answered, asked and answered. Three times. I'll get back to that in a moment. Before I talk about what it means that Jesus changed the question, I want to talk about Jesus' instructions. And to do that, I better look at my Bible to make sure I get it right. The first time, when Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a brotherly love, Jesus said, feed my lambs. Now, it's translated that way. But what it actually means is, what the Greek word really means is, tend my lambs. Doesn't mean put out food for them. Means take them to green pastures where they can eat for themselves. It means protect them from evil. There's an implication then, instruct them in the ways they should go. Use all parts of this. By the way, did you know where the word pastor comes from? You call me Pastor Peg. It comes from the Greek word for shepherd. So what am I supposed to do? Pull you out of crevices? Make sure you get herded in the right place? Lead. That's what Jesus was asking Peter to do with the flock, with the lambs, the weakest, the youngest, the most needy. He's asking him to use all parts of the shepherd's crook. The second time, Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep. Tend my sheep." The older sheep, maybe the ones who were old and frail, maybe the ones who were kind of clueless, tend them, take care of them. But there's no implication that Peter should do anything for them that they can do for themselves. He's not supposed to chew up and digest the grass for them, but to show them where it is. And then the third time, he says, "Feed my sheep." The instructions are pretty much the same. Take care of the sheep. Pasture them. Show them where there's good water. Keep away the wolves. Why would Jesus entrust to Peter the care of a flock of people who meant so much to Jesus, knowing that he could not love them with a divine love? Why would he do that? If Jesus asked you, "Do you love me with a divine love?" If he asked you that question, you'd have to say, "I'm not God. I can't love that way. I can't tend your sheep." That would be my answer. But Peter didn't say no. He said, "I love in a brotherly fashion." And when Jesus changed the question to, "Do you love me in a brotherly way? Are you capable of that kind of love?" Peter's answer was, "Yes, you know I love you. You know I can. And it's good enough." Our love of other people doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be God's love. It's good enough to do what we are able to do, what we are called to do for one another. Isn't it wonderful to be told you are good enough? You don't have to live up to God's divine standard. Human love is good enough. Do what you're able to do. There's a song that really disturbed me when I was answering a call to ministry. The song is "Here I Am, Lord." You know that one, right? "Here I am, Lord. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied." And the refrain is, it ends with the question, "Whom shall I send?" That's Jesus' question here. Who's going to take care of these folks when I'm gone? They're clueless. And he was putting the clueless in charge, because the disciples time after time have said, "What did he mean?" It's good enough. I cried every time we sang that song in church until I said yes. And the reason I cried is I didn't feel worthy. Who in the world would ever feel worthy of God's call? We can't. We aren't. We can't love with agape love. We can't be God. And the good news is, we don't have to. Filios, brotherly love, is good enough. Thanks be to God.